Good to see you tonight. We're glad that you're here, and I invite you to keep your Bible open at that passage, and we'll come back to it momentarily, but we begin by a word of welcome and appreciation that we're able to meet together and worship God, and pray that we do not seek Him in vain this evening, just as we sang a moment ago, but that in fact our hearts are tuned to sing His praise, our hearts are directed to His Word to understand His truth, and that our will be dedicated and devoted to following what God has said in His Word that He expects of us in our lives, that we can receive the blessings of His grace, of His present and continual attendance unto us as we attend unto Him and the doing of His will in our lives. If you're not a Christian tonight, we urge you to become one in the Bible way. The Bible is very clear and cannot be said that it is difficult to understand what Jesus means when He says, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. As He had just described Himself as the one who is from above. We must believe that Jesus is from above or we will die forever in our sins. But such a belief puts upon us the responsibility to confess that faith. To acknowledge that faith that we have, that He is the Christ, the Son of God. For Jesus said, if we are unwilling to confess Him before men, He'll not confess us before His Father who is in heaven. So in a real way, our confession before men that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is a testimony that we believe not only in the Father, but we believe that one day we will stand before Jesus and He will judge us for our lives, and we want to be acknowledged by Him then. And so we choose to acknowledge Him now in confessing our faith. But then to repent of our sins is to change our mind about our transgression against God. When we sin against God. We sin against each other. But ultimately and finally, all sin is against God. And to truly repent of that is to change our heart and consequently the way that we live, the choices that we make to conform ourselves in mind and in deed to the will of God, to bear the fruit of repentance. If you'll do that tonight, you're prepared then to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's why we don't baptize babies. They're not prepared. Neither do they have sin that needs to be washed away by Christ's blood. But having believed and confessed a faith and repented of our sins, we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. If you haven't done that tonight, we urge you to do it. We urge you to be saved from your past sins by the blood of Jesus, washed away clean, and added by Him then to His church, to the redeemed. You may live from that day forward, from this day forward, as a servant of God, as a steward of the blessings of God. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. As noted in Matthew 24, Jesus is teaching a principle of readiness, of being wise and faithful stewards of the blessings of God, because the Lord's going to return and judge us. And that He has put responsibilities upon us now in this life that are to be honoring unto Him, unto His purposes, and to bring Him glory. And all the while, a service that ultimately and finally, when He returns, He will bless those who are wise and faithful and prepared for His return. The steward is a manager of a household, and particularly of a household that belongs to another. He is entrusted with the goods and affairs of another person. Just as in this parable, the faithful servant and the evil servant, the faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household. So he puts his goods into the care and keeping, the responsibility of this servant. He is a manager of the estate. He cares for and administers the affairs of the master. Joseph is a good illustration of it in Genesis 39, verses 4 through 6. When sold into slavery, God is blessing him and in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar makes him, in effect, a steward of his goods. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was, from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So here is Joseph administering the affairs of Potiphar, his household, his goods, his fields, his properties, his income, and God is blessing Potiphar as he is blessing Joseph, who is administering the affairs of that of his master's house. Now, of course, he answers to his master too, doesn't he? Joseph answered to Potiphar, and that was one of the things he said when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He said, "Look, my master doesn't know what is with me. He's committed everything to my hand. Everything he has, he's committed to me. I answer to him. I'm responsible to him, and of course, ultimately to God." And so this steward of a house, of course, would answer to the master, and that's what Jesus bases that upon in Matthew 24, is the wise and faithful master, servant. He's doing the master's will, and so he's doing the work when the master returns, and the master blesses him because he's being faithful to take care of the master's affairs that he had put him over. See, he gave him authority. He put him over some responsibilities to attend to those goods. So in Romans 14, that principle is applied by the Apostle Paul by inspiration when he's talking about the problem that was going on with the brethren. Some of them were looking down upon some of their other brethren, and others were judging one another, condemning one another over matters that were morally indifferent. There were some matters of conscience, the eating of the meat or not eating of the meats, and Paul said, "You need to stop doing that." And one of his points is, "You who judge, who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. Indeed, he'll be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." So the principle being, the servant answers to his master. And once we accept that we are servants of God, then we accept that we answer to him. That what he has put into our hands as his servants, we're going to give an account for. And that's why later he says, verse 12, "So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." Because in this very real sense, it is our entire life that we have been blessed with by God. We have been blessed with the physical. We've been blessed with the spiritual life in Christ. And we will answer to God for what he has put into our hands as we serve him. So, let's discuss this some from the standpoint of being stewards of the blessings of God. That God has given us blessings. He's put goods into our hands. Things that ultimately belong to him, but things that he has blessed us with. And consequently, that we are to be wise and faithful concerning and be ready for his return to give our account to him by being active, by working, by that is being faithful to his cause, to his will, his purposes. Look at the appointment of the master for a moment. In Matthew 25 this time, go to the next chapter, and you recall the parable of the talents. Now, talents was a matter of money, an amount of goods that this master was giving his servants. He delivered his goods to them, verse 14. And he's going to go on this journey to a far country. "And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey." So the master knew his servants. He knew their capabilities. He knew the opportunities they would have. He knew their capabilities. And he grants to them these different amounts according to their ability. Now, that was the master's right and the master's assessment. And the master made that delegation. He appointed them to these tasks, or this task of caring for these different amounts of his goods, based upon their ability. And so, they had an opportunity to increase their master's goods. They had an opportunity to be faithful to caring for the things the master had given them. Now, as you remember, in accord with the five talent man made five more. He earned five more talents for his master. And he was blessed for it. The two talent man likewise and was blessed. The one talent man did not use what he had been given. He buried it. He kept it safe. But he did not use what he had been given according to his ability to bless and enhance the welfare of his master. And so he was punished for his failure to be a good steward or servant in caring for the master's goods. I want you to look at Mark 13 and verse 34, because this is essentially the same context and really it parallels the Matthew 24 parable of the faithful servant and the unfaithful or evil servant that Brother Adrian read for us a moment ago. In Mark 13 and 34, or 33 beginning, he says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." We do not know. They didn't know specifically the time of the judgment of Jerusalem, and we certainly don't know the time of the end of the world when Jesus returns in judgment. But he says, "Take heed, watch and pray. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch." So here you get again. You see the element of the steward or servant here, who the master leaves his goods. He gives authority to his servants to care for the things he gives them, puts under their care. To each his work, you see, to accomplish the work each one was given. And the doorkeeper also was to stand watch. And the message is preparation, watchfulness, by being faithful to use that which God, the Master, put into their hands, what God puts into our hands. See, if we're not using what God puts into our hands, into our lives, that He has blessed us with, then we are not ready for Him to return. We're not prepared. We're not watching. And so that's from the fundamental lesson of the Master's appointment of us as servants. But let's explore it a little bit more. Every Christian has responsibility as stewards, being given goods from our Master that He expects us to take care of, to be responsible for, and to use to His glory, His honor. The apostles were stewards of the mysteries of God, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1. The Holy Spirit inspired them and gave them the message of God's Word that they were to then speak and preach to the whole world. And Paul acknowledges that in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And that a principle of stewardship was that a steward was to be faithful, verse 2. "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Now, the mysteries of God was the revelation of God's plan of human redemption in the Christ. It was the gospel message. He had put that under the responsibility of the apostles as He inspired them and gave them that work of preaching it. And so Paul took, and the others took it very seriously, that it is required in stewards that one is found faithful. The steward must be faithful to the master's appointment, or else in his unfaithfulness, he will lose his soul. He will not accomplish the work and lose his soul. He will not honor the master. And so he cannot stand justified as a result. So the apostles took that work very seriously. In Titus 1 and verse 7, elders have a stewardship. They are stewards of God, the verse says. "For a bishop, an overseer, must be blameless as a steward of God. Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, greedy of money," and so forth. So elders have a stewardship from God, local congregation. And their responsibility, the appointment He's put into their hands, is to care for the souls of the congregation, the members of the local church. And they will answer for that, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. And so, these stewards must be found faithful, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, just as well as the apostles were. And so elders who do not respect the seriousness of the work, do not see and understand that they are stewards of blessings from God and the responsibility of souls that they have and have been granted to God, they better get out of the work, because they're going to answer to God for not being prepared by being faithful and being wise. They need to start doing the work, or they need to realize they're not doing the work and stop holding the name, because I tell you, we're going to answer for God. Our answer to God for the work. It's a stewardship. Preachers are stewards of the Word of God. Look at it in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 and 17. For if I preach the gospel, Paul wrote, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. So Paul does preach willingly, but he says more than that. I have a stewardship. I have been goods have been put into my care and keeping, that I am to proclaim, that I am to be a herald of the good news of redemption in Christ, of salvation. And gospel preachers today have a stewardship. They have a ministry to fulfill, a service to perform. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5. And preachers need to understand what the stewardship is. And brethren need to know what the stewardship is. It's concerning the Word of God and the work of preaching, and be faithful to it. But every Christian are stewards. And this is what I want to see with us, is that we all are stewards of God's blessings. In 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse 10, says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So, God has put into our care and keeping, and our responsibility, His grace. He has favored us. We are stewards of the manifold grace of God, the many-faceted, multi-dimensional grace of God. And so what does that mean? Well, verse 11 illustrates it for us. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles or words of God. If you're teaching, if you're preaching, speak the words of God. If that's the stewardship, if that's the responsibility, if that's been what's been put into your hands, you're a teacher, then teach the Word of God. If anyone ministers, serves, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. So, and that, you know, that just opens it up to many things, to the whole life of the Christian, is that the ability which God supplies, like the master who, according to their abilities, he gave talents to his servants. He gave those goods to His servants based upon their ability. He says, as God supplies to us, whatever God has put into our hands, in all things, minister it as God giving it. He says that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We are a servant of God with things being put into our hands, with blessings that He's given us. And we're to use them in a way that will bring glory and honor to God through Jesus Christ. Not honor to ourselves, but to the Lord. Amen. To whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says that's only right. The glory belongs to the master, not the servant. You see? And that's how He wants us to view ourselves and the relationship that we have with Him. So this morning we're talking about Him reigning in over us, and Him living in our hearts through faith. You see, now is the idea, the illustration is used of master and servant, and the responsibility of stewards, and the appointments that we have. Look at some of the crucial elements of stewardship, of these blessings that God, by His grace, have entrusted us with. One is, of course, we're under the authority of Christ. You remember Mark 13:34, the master there in the parable gave his servants authority to do the work. Apostles were granted authority to do their work, elders are given authority to do their work, all of us are granted authority to do our work, to do the particular things that God expects of us, but you see, we're under His authority in it all. We yield to His authority because in truth, the authority that we have is revealed in His Word. It's the Master's authority that is implemented and executed by the steward. The steward does not, the servant doesn't possess the authority innately or inherently within themselves. But we act under the Master's authority. That's an element of stewardship. The faithful steward doesn't strike out on his own without the permission, if you will, or the authority of the Master, and do with the Master's goods just as he sees fit. He acts under the authority of the Master. It's an element of stewardship. It's an element of being faithful. And I think that's why he says, whatever we do in word or in deed, we're to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're to have His approval, His authority, because all that we have and all that we do comes from Him, is to be to His glory, is to be under His rule. He has given us work to do. An element of stewardship is work. There's work to do.
We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that He before prepared that we should walk in them.
So God has prepared the work. And He expects us, as His servants, as His stewards, to act under His authority and accept the work that He gives us and be faithful in the carrying out of that work. The work that we do is to bless our Master. We've mentioned that some already, but you see it noted in the Scriptures. You see that as the point. The five-talent man and the two-talent man, the work they did brought blessing to the Master. When you are faithful to Jesus, you're bringing blessing to the Master. You see, that's what 1 Peter 4:11 said. He who ministers, let him minister it as that which God supplies, and all things, that in all things God may be glorified. When we do the will of God, we're servants. Christ is living in us through faith. Galatians 2:20. Paul says, "I'm crucified with Christ. I'm not the." He says, "I'm not the glory attainer. It's for Christ. He lives in me." He said, "The life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Brethren, when we are faithful to Jesus, the glory goes to Jesus. When we keep our appointment as stewards, the glory is His. We're to be thankful, and we're to be faithful. We've already read about the faithful part, but I want us to see the thankful part because that's going to bring us more to some other applications that we want to make. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in 19. The verse says, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The Lord knows His people. Just as the Master knew His servants, and the Master gave His servants the possessions based upon their ability, that they would bring blessing to their Master, that they would be faithful and dutiful in their work. Even so, God knows those who belong to Him, and we are to depart from iniquity. And then He goes on to say, "In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work." You see, we have a part to play in our usefulness as stewards. We must purify ourselves from iniquity, from sin. We must truly have repentant hearts that put away sin. And so we are cleansed in Christ and through His blood and by His gospel. You see, cleansed to then be set apart, holy, sanctified, useful to bring honor. Just as, you know, there's some vessels in the house that take care of some tasks, but they're not very honorable. The wood, the clay, you see the vessels of wood and clay, but the vessels of gold and silver, those were brought out and used for the occasions of honor. Well, he said, now, you know, in using that figure, he said, we need to cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves so that we will be not dishonorable, but honorable vessels,
ready for the Master's use. If we're going to be stewards, we need to be thankful for what God gives us to do and not take the blessings for granted. If we're not thankful, we take them for granted.
If we're not counting our blessings and don't see that our blessings are really from God for His good pleasure, for His honor, then we begin to take them for granted and as if, you know, we deserve them, or we begin expecting that they're ours and belong to us,
and we forget God. And we forget to use them to their full extent, too.
If we forget the source of our blessings, then we will not effectively, consistently use those blessings with a thought of, well, I want to honor God. Now, what He's given me, I want to do this because I'm serving Him, because it's all because of Him. If it wasn't for Him, then none of this blessing would exist and none of this work would be accomplished. If we forget to be thankful,
and if we refuse to be faithful, we are taking our blessings for granted, like that evil servant who said, oh, my master's not coming home anytime soon. So he neglected his work. He joined in with the drunkards and with the revelers, rather than be faithful and true to the Master. Took his blessings for granted, took his responsibilities for granted, did not use the Master's goods for the Master's glory, and so was called an evil servant.
Because you see, we ultimately begin to forget God. When we forget that God is the source of our blessing, then we've forgotten God, haven't we? When we fail to be thankful. Notice some verses here with 2 Corinthians chapter 9, passage that we refer to from time to time. It talks about how we're to be giving, but I want you to see some of the foundation upon which the apostle urges this right way of giving. He says, this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, by the way, God's a cheerful giver to us, isn't He?
See, God has cheerfully and bountifully given us His grace, and we're stewards of the manifold grace of God.
God wasn't stingy. God is a giver who gives more abundantly than us all. And so now He's urging us to give as our Master has given. God is able to make, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. The church in Corinth was abundant and had abundance at this time. God had blessed them with that abundance. He was the source of it. And he says, God is able to grant you all the sufficiency you need, that you can have and continue to have this abundance in good works. As it is written, He has dispensed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. So he says, just pause and remember, Corinthians, that all the abundance you have is from God. That He is the giver and has given abundantly to you. Now, you, he says, now you give abundantly and cheerfully as God has done. And now watch, he goes on. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower, there's a blessing, and bread for food, there's a blessing, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, there's a blessing, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, there's a blessing, while you are enriched in everything with all liberality, there's a blessing, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. You see, throughout all of that text, where he's urging, give cheerfully, give bountifully, he said, remember God the giver. Remember God the provider, God the sustainer, the God who richly enables you to do the abundant work that you are doing, and to be more. And he says, so that thanksgiving will come to God. Thanksgiving will result. You see, this is at the heart
of stewardship is that we remember to be thankful for what God has put into our hands. That what He has blessed us with is not a burden, but an opportunity. A blessing.
With responsibility. But one that we ought to, with grateful hearts, thanking God that He has made us stewards of His manifold grace and blessed us with the opportunities to use His blessings to bring Him honor, to do His service. Look back at 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Paul wrote, "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, because He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Paul said, "I'm thankful." Now here's Paul in prison. A prisoner for Christ. Here's Paul who had been beaten on numerous occasions. He had been persecuted, stoned. He'd just about gone through all of it and was about to lose his life here in just a very short while. Year or two or three, not long. And yet he says, "I'm thankful. I thank Jesus that He counted me faithful and put me into the service." You see, he viewed himself as a steward who would be thankful and praise God for His goodness at all times. That's what Psalm 34 says. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast to the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." Let us exalt His name together. See now, so faithfulness, thankfulness, using our opportunity under His authority to do the work that He's given us to do. These are the elements of stewardship. Now let's talk application. We are stewards of our time. As the servants of God, He has blessed every one of us with time. And so the Bible says we are to be redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Ephesians 5 and verse 16. That is to buy up the opportunity, redeem our time. We all, frankly, if we're honest with ourselves, we all want more time, don't we? But we often waste what we have. We'll be honest with ourselves. We get distracted with other things. In Luke 10:38-42, you remember Martha had invited Jesus to her home, and she's busying herself with the preparations and the serving of Jesus. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Him speak and teach. And Martha was upset and urged Jesus to tell her sister to help. And Jesus reminded Martha, there's one thing that's needful. And Mary's chosen the good part that would not be taken away from her. Mary chose to use her time to not be distracted, but to give attention to the Master who was teaching on that occasion. And it illustrates that we can get sidetracked. And we can begin to consume our time with things that we shouldn't. Now, let me illustrate. You know, when I put together my PowerPoints, Debbie says I'm too meticulous. She says I'll waste time because I'm too meticulous. You move that an eighth of an inch and it doesn't really matter. You know, just throw it up there. Use your time better, she says. Well, I guess that's the difference between being a perfectionist. I don't know. No, or maybe I ought to learn a little bit lesson on time management. I'm using my time a little more carefully. And that's, of course, the point that she's trying to make to me is don't get distracted and end up not effectively using the time that you have. And we can all do that. It reminds me of the AT&T commercial. You know, the rollover minutes? Yeah. You know, the guys are, the teenagers, you know, that time's worthless. Now I've got more rollover minutes. And mama's there saying, no, you use those rollover minutes. You don't waste those minutes that you have. You use those, and there's a lot of people who don't have those rollover minutes. Well, we all have the same amount of time, but it's how we choose to manage our time and you use it, has something to say about whether we really remember that it's a blessing from God. That really the time is something God has favored us with. God, in His mercy and long suffering, gives us time to be right with Him and to be faithful to Him in our lives and to do that which brings Him honor. Jesus said we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. The night's coming. Let's do the work now while we have it. Let's use our time wisely. And every one of us can learn that lesson. Realize that the time I have to get right with God is right now. And I don't have a guarantee. I don't have rollover minutes in life. I can waste some time now, but the time I don't use, I can roll it over and I'll have it next month. Doesn't work that way. Not in life. AT&T it works that way, but not in life. Yeah. And we've got to be wise, therefore, about the time that we have. Matthew 24:48 just speaks and illustrates the point with the faithful servant who used his time wisely, and the evil servant who said, "My master is delaying his coming." He saw the time he had and that the master hadn't come yet, and he disregarded the blessing of time. He didn't see that with the master's delay, it meant he had more opportunity to serve his master. No, he was only interested in serving himself. And that's the problem of not redeeming our time. We end up serving ourselves instead of serving the master. We end up misappropriating our time to bring ourselves the glory, and not honoring Jesus by being careful to be obedient to Him urgently and always. There's a song we sometimes sing, "Time Enough Yet." You know, time enough yet. Oh soul, don't be alarmed. We ought to be alarmed. So we have no guarantee for tomorrow. We don't. And the time that we have is a blessing. Because frankly, at the end of our lives, time is one thing most everybody wants more of. But we're going to all die. See, Psalm 90 says, "Therefore teach us to number our days and get us a heart of wisdom." Have a right perspective on the time God has put into our hands, God has blessed us with. Because even if we live 70, 80 years or even longer by strength, we're going to die soon. We're going to soon die. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting on? To start using the blessing of the time God has given you to get right with God and to serve God, be faithful to God, to obey His gospel, be saved from your past sins, and then be a faithful Christian. What are you waiting on? Do you want to be the evil servant or the faithful steward? We've all been given time. It's time to rejoice in the time that we have. Use it to honor God. Let's read this passage, Psalm 90 and 13. "Return, O Lord, how long?" Now this is right after He has said, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Because the days of our life here on earth are just brief. 70 years, maybe 80 years. It's soon gone and we fly away. So let's be wise. "Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days." Whatever time we have, bless us with your mercy, Lord, and we will rejoice in our time of service with you and to you. Make us glad according to the days in which we have seen evil. Let's read that over. "Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we've seen evil." Now, even in the hard trials of life, we can be glad because God is showing compassion on us. God is merciful to us. He brings us through those periods. "Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. the work of our hands. We are stewards of God. He has given us time to do His work. Now may our work be established. That is, may we be faithful and dutiful and about the business of our Master, redeeming the time He's given us, not wasting it on ourselves to the neglect and disobedience of the Master. Stewards of our time. Let's use the opportunities now of the day of salvation. We are stewards of our possessions, aren't we? We are stewards of all that God has blessed us with materially. And God uses that very point in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In His Word, He teaches us how we as stewards are to use the material goods that we have. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. He says that how we use our possessions shows whether we value our stewardship. That's implied in this text. How we use what God has given us indicates whether or not we really know it's from God and whether we're really thankful. You see, you know what the tendency is? The tendency is to use the material blessings that we have from God on ourselves. But look what we ought to be doing. We ought to be managing our money to live within our means. Romans 13 and verse 8, he says, owe no man anything save to love one another. So we are to be careful to manage the possessions that we have so that we are not living a life of indebtedness, but one instead where we can help others, pay our taxes, help others as they need help and opportunities to do so. Romans 13:7. You see, he just says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes is due. That takes management of the blessing God has given us. Customs to whom customs, honor to whom honor, fear to whom fear. Owe no man anything save to love one another. So he says, if you manage these possessions, if you're rich in this world, don't set your mind on those riches. Don't be haughty and arrogant in the blessing that God has put into your hand, but see it rather as an opportunity to lay up treasures in heaven. The one way that we can, with possessions on earth, lay up treasures in heaven is to be ready to give. He says in verse 18, willing to distribute. You see, giving as we've been prospered. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. The fact that God has put into our hands material blessings ought to compel us to be givers. Because we've been given. We've been given. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. In Acts 20:35. So that's his point in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18. How is it that the rich are to be rich in good works and ready to give? Because they understand and know that the richness that they possess is a blessing that comes to them from God. And it's not of themselves. And we are rich. And we must understand and think about our possessions in these terms. You see, the tendency is to bless ourselves. But the Bible says the measure we use will be used back to us, be measured back to us. That is a principle that applies in just about just a whole range of things. But Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. You know, if we want others to treat us respectfully, let's show respect. You know, if we want others to be kind for us, let's be kind. If we want others to demonstrate generosity, let's be generous. You see, let us give and it will be given in return. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Now, he's talking about in the context of forgiving, of showing mercy. We want mercy, let us abundantly show mercy, and it will be returned to us. But that principle applies in terms of of what God has put into our hands. Let us measure back generosity. Having received abundantly, let us then abundantly sow, that there may be an abundant increase for our master's honor. You see, that's what he's urging the Corinthians. They'd said a year previous, we want to help our needy saints, needy brethren down in Jerusalem. We want to help.
But they hadn't done anything yet for a year. Now he said, come on, bring that in line with the doing.
Show your generosity. Sow bountifully. No. We need to measure out humble giving. We need to, in humility, trust in our giving. Remember the woman with the two mites, the widow, gave all that she had, her own livelihood. She gave, but she depended upon the Lord. Humility in giving, not the haughtiness that Paul warned about. And we need to give dutifully in the care of our family, don't we? That's a responsibility God has put into our hands. And with the possessions that we have to care for our families. They're the widows in that context. But these are just applications of the principle. God has given us many possessions. And the responsibility that we have is to use those blessings of possessions to bring honor to God. Amen. Not to the indulging of ourself and neglect the Master's will. Not say, well, I would have helped the Lord, but you know, I've already committed that money to it, you know, like kind of like the Corbin thing. They're trying to get out from helping their parents, so they said, well, we've already dedicated it to God. You know, unfortunately, sometimes it's sort of like, well, I would have helped the Lord, but I've already dedicated that money to entertainment. I've already dedicated that money to this or that instead of to the Lord. When He ought to be the first thought, because we're stewards of the possessions He's given us. And so we give, not just in Sunday giving. I'm talking about beyond just Sunday giving. I'm talking about God has blessed us, and so that every day, you know, we have occasions in our lives. We come across situations where we can give, where we can help, where we can assist. Seek out those opportunities. And let that be a part of who we are, because we've received such abundance from God. We're going to answer to Him for how we use the abundance He's given us. Thirdly, what about stewards of the physical health that we have? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, which we have of God, and we're not ourselves, and we're not our own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. The Lord has fellowship with us, and we with Him. And our bodies are to be given to His will and purposes, and in His context is a warning against the defilement of fornication. And instead, our bodies would be set apart unto the purity of holiness and sanctified service. Of course, our bodies really, and our health that we have is indeed a blessing from God. Temporary though it is, it's a blessing. Yes, we get older, our bodies begin to wear out, and our health begins to fail inevitably with every one of us. Save for some tragedy that takes our life young. But of course, see, that's why we need to be redeeming our time. But the health that you have is a blessing from God. Don't neglect it. Because sometimes you may find out you wish you had it back. So that you had the health that now you don't have, and you regret that you didn't use the health that you had to greater blessing for God and unto God. Body's a temple. Let's use it to the glory of God. Not to the defilement of immorality, not to the defilement of destructive behavior, brethren. We talked about marijuana use this morning in Bible class. It destroys the mind and slowly and surely the body. Smoking, nicotine, the addictive natures of that, and the carcinogens and cancer-causing elements of smoking destroys the body. It destroys health. God has blessed us with health. How will we in the day of judgment stand before Him and tell Him why we did not use the blessing of our health, but instead work systematically to destroy it? Because in the destroying of our health, we destroy our opportunities of serving Him. So it is with alcohol and on the list to go. You see, what we're into though is satisfy our own urging. You know, whether it's time, whether it's possessions, or whether it's physical health. Satisfy the urging we have personally instead of the greater responsibility of yielding to ourselves, submitting ourselves to the Master's will, and so we use self-control and bear that fruit in our life, rather than destroy the blessing of health that we have. We need to take care of our health, because it's a blessing from God. And it'll bring us the opportunities to serve God. You know, Paul told Timothy to use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. He needed to use it medicinally. Take some medicine. Because you're sick, you need to get better so you can meet the responsibilities that you have, Timothy, to preach the gospel, to do the service that God has put into your hand. If we do not take care of our health, how can we stand before God in the day of judgment and say, God, you blessed me with my body, with my health, and I disregarded it. And it brought me trials and troubles. And I wasn't able to do what I could have done because, well, I just wanted to do what I wanted with my body. Brother, our health is a blessing. Take care of ourselves. Because it gives you more opportunity to serve God and to serve others. To serve others, you see. Remember that verse that said, if anyone ministers, let him do it with that which God supplies. See that verse? Let's read it again just to be careful with the Word of God here. He says, if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. God granting us physical capabilities has supplied us with opportunities. Now, if I don't look at my health from those terms, then how am I going to be effectively using opportunities? I'll be squandering them. I won't be as effective in what I could do for the Master as a steward. Even if our health is not so good or has begun to deteriorate, you can still be a steward of the health you have. You're still a steward of God to use whatever strength you have in your faith in God and your service to Him. Remember, Paul had a physical ailment. And it brought pain and weakness. But he said, even when I'm weak in the flesh, I'm strong in Christ. Even then, and my point being, we can't even use the lack of physical health to become our excuse not to be a good steward of what God has given us. We live in an amazing time where in spite of ailments of the flesh, of the body, amazing medical advances and things that sustain us in our health, that we can continue to serve God. Don't take the blessing for granted. Don't ignore it and just say, I don't care. Start caring. Because your health is from God. And you'll answer to Him for how you've used that to serve Him and to honor Him. Time, possessions, health. You continue the list. All see, God has put many blessings into our hands. And He will return and we will answer to Him. We will give an account. We'll either be a faithful and wise steward who is ready because we're doing the work He's given us to do, or we'll be the evil steward who says, Lord's not coming now. I'm not going to do it now. Now I want to play. Now I want to serve myself. And one day I'll serve God. But not now. He said, that person's not going to be ready. And they're going to lose their soul forever. Use your time now. Obey Jesus now. Be thankful. Be useful in His Word. Be diligent. Be faithful. Be a steward of God's blessings. Obey His gospel and be saved. Repent as a Christian. If there's sin, let us be faithful in all that God has put into our hands, that He will be glorified, that He will be acknowledged as the Savior, the Redeemer, and the one who grants all good blessings. All together we stand and we sing. Won't you come?